Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
This morning, you can turn to Ephesians 3. We're going to get in Ephesians 3 and dig around there all morning long. I believe with all my heart that if you can get a revelation of God's love, which is twofold, amen. You say, what do you mean? Well, there's that which is revealed by the Word of God, then there's that which you experience. And on the experiential level, there's really no way to explain. If you've ever really lived in the love of God and experienced, I mean, I thought I experienced, you know, the height, the depth, the fullness of God's love when He forgave me for 12, 13 years of rebellion. But honey, I hadn't even scratched the surface. I mean, that was just the door I walked through. And then everything else that God's done in my life because of His great love, from giving me Leah to ministry for all these years to even in our personal life. Oh my goodness. We experienced the love of God. Now here's the thing. A lot of people don't appreciate the love of God because of their inability to identify it in their life. Because we equate love on the human level so much to an emotion or a feeling, many times it becomes difficult to equate love to God, whom you cannot see, whom you must trust by faith. But nothing about the love of God is emotional. Everything about the love of humanity is emotional. But nothing about the love of God is emotional. If you want to gauge, look at, see, or inventory the love of God in your life, think of your life without Him. Right now. I mean, some of you have been serving God for 10 years. What would your life be like if for those 10 years you did not serve God? And what has God done in those 10 years? If you've been serving God 20 years, what if you would not have served God for those 20 years? What would your life be like today? Well, most of us, we'd either be dead, in prison, or in a whole lot of trouble. Come on, church. Amen. And when you begin to gauge the love of God, many times you begin to look into the areas in which, yeah, those areas where you've got faith and you're making confessions and God answers prayer. Yeah, but it's those areas where you're not doing nothing and God rescues you. Or God just blesses you with something because He's God. Has God ever done that for you? Amen. Or you experience something and that's just, you're overwhelmed. Alan and I, years ago, we were in Hawaii. We were doing we were doing ministry there. We'd done a crusade, an outreach. We'd had a great time. And it was our first trip to Kauai. So Alan and I wanted to go surf. And so we'd read some travel brochures or something. But I think the day before, we went on a snorkeling trip on a boat called Captain Andy's. We love to go with Captain Andy. He's cool. He goes up the Nepali coast, and it's this great snorkeling trip, and they feed you breakfast and lunch. It's just awesome. But going to Port Allen to catch the boat, Captain Andy's boat, we passed by a place where there was about 10 or 12 cars, and we kind of know what, you know, a surf spot looks like because there were surf racks on top of the cars, no surfboards. So we determined there must be a surf spot in there somewhere. So remember, Alan, we got up the next morning and pulled up there, and you had to kind of walk through this little jungle. There were chickens and stuff. Remember, there's a bull out there and stuff. We're like, what is this bull doing out here, you know? But then you kind of walk, and it opens up into this big, beautiful cove and this beautiful wave breaking. And Alan and I are paddling out, and this, remember that rainbow that came over the break? I was so overwhelmed. I did feel emotion, because only the love of God got me to that place to experience that. That was the love of God. I was so blown away. We had a blast. There's no way to describe that. And it was a total manifestation of the love. See, a lot of people say, nah, you just kind of lucked out and found out what people and happened to hit it on a good day. Come on, church. People that think like that are cynical toward God. you've allowed your mind to get crusted over, not realizing the Bible says, look for the mercies of God in all things. And I could, man, if I were to get up here and start telling you experiences of the love of God in my life, I would be an emotional wreck in about 10 minutes. I'd just start crying. Because God has been so good to me. You say, why? Are you a favorite child? No, I'm not. I'm just a child. But I seek Him. I want to know Him. I'm going after all of, listen, ministry, we've been in ministry now. It'll be 40 years this April, actually this April coming up. I preached my first message on April the 15th, 1984. So it'll be 40 years that I've stood behind one of these things. And I cannot describe the ecstasy of that which God has done in churches and crusades and what I've got to experience and witness. Then I take my personal life. Listen, the love of God will literally saturate you if you'll let it. Amen? And one of the ways you have to figure out how God loves you is through His Word. Now, this is our third week looking at the love of God, how much God loves you. You say, now what is this? Pastor, the world is going to hell on a skateboard. And this is happening, and that is happening, and this is happening. And shouldn't we be talking about these things? No. You say, why not? Everybody else is. I'm trying to tell you some stuff that'll help you in the midst of all of that. Amen. So when I begin, you know, studying some of this stuff out, looking at stuff, I had a particular scripture. The Lord said, no, wait. So now He's going to let me do it. The most important scripture that you can study, meditate on, and pray is what we're going to study today. I have prayed this prayer since I learned to pray it in the summer of 1984 at a prayer seminar. In the spring of 84 at a prayer seminar up at Rhema Bible College. And I learned to pray the prayers of Ephesians. Brother Kenneth E. Hagin taught one sermon on the prayers of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3. And he taught that crowd that day, about 3,000 people. He said, now you need to pray these prayers every day over yourself. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3, Ephesians 1, Ephesians 3. And I've done that for 40 years. And I did that this morning. And I'll do that in the morning. And I'll do that tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You say, why? Because there is a running thread of revelation that'll tie to your heart as long as you're seeking that, and it will reveal the love of God into your life. It'll just help you understand everything about how God loves you. Now, we can encapsulate that in a general statement. God put it in the Bible. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. Isn't that amazing that we serve a God with the capacity to love the world? Come on, church. We serve a God with the capacity to love the world and all, 9 billion people now in it. Amen? So when you understand that there is a general love of God that goes out to the world, that's expressed in the acceptable year of the Lord that we're living in, because if we were not living in a time of mercy, compassion, and grace, amen, we'd be under judgment. Anybody made a mistake in your life since you've served God, that if judgment would have come upon you, you'd have been in big trouble? Proof of the love of God. Now, Ephesians chapter 1. I looked at all kinds of translations and I kind of settled on 3. Let's read it first, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 14. I'll read it in the King James, then I'm going to read a couple other translations and we'll dig into it here for a moment. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now that's that right there, you can stop right there and have a revival. Really? Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That means the whole family in heaven right now is standing there worshiping the Father, glorifying the Father, magnifying the Father. Why are they doing that? They're in heaven. I said, they're in heaven with Jesus, with glory, with no sin, no death, no sickness, no disease, no war, no poverty, no nothing but the love and the glory of God. Amen. So He's making sure that they're all taken care of. But He's also the Father. of the family on earth. And he is not one father to the family in heaven and another father to the family on earth. That's a simple statement. You need to hear that. He's not one family, one father to the family in heaven and another father to the family on earth. No, he's not. It's the same father for the entire family. That means he's going to treat you the same way whether you're on earth or in heaven. Come on, church. How do you think he's going to treat you in heaven? How do you think the Father's going to treat you in heaven? Come on, how do you think the Father is going to treat you in heaven? That's the way he treats you on earth. Oh, come on. That's the way he treats you. He loves you. Let me say this. People don't like this. Don't write me any letter. I'll throw it in the trash. Nothing that has ever happened in your life that is bad has anything to do with God. And nothing that ever will happen in your life that is bad, that is negative, that steals, that kills, that destroys, that hurts, that gives you pain, that brings darkness. None of it, none of it, none of it, none of it is of God. If he gave it to you, where'd he get it? He don't have it. He can't give you cancer. He don't have it. He can't give you bankruptcy. He's not bankrupt. See, people, they hear that and their mind just goes religious, you know. And that's the reason so many people are so cynical. It's because religion makes you cynical. It's what it does. It creates doubt. And everything in a cynical mind that you hear, you cut off the angle of that cynicism, which is what? An automatic closed door to God. God just says, okay. When you get your wits about you, I'll come talk to you again. Amen? So I like for him to talk to me, amen, all the time. Now notice, for this cause, I bow my knees. That's a humble position. Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who the whole family, hallelujah, in heaven and earth his name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man. Anybody ever felt weak? Pray this prayer. Pray this prayer. The Bible said God will what? Strengthen you, not with human ability, but with divine ability. If you've ever lived under the grace of God and then come out of that grace, you'll understand some things about this. For about 18 years, I lived under a grace that I look back on and I see is phenomenal. I'm like, wow. I mean, I was in one day, out the next. I mean, I was on airplanes, airports, hotels. I lived that lifestyle for 18 years, and there's no way you could have kept up with me. I mean, you can ask Leo. There'd be times I'd come in from Ireland and go straight down to Nicaragua, come back and go up to Missouri and hold a meeting, come back and then go over to Louisiana and hold a meeting, and then come back and go out to California, and in the meantime, teach full-time in Bible school, full-time, keep up with all my classes. 18 years. Bags were packed all the time. All the time. Then that started to lift. That grace began to lift. You say, why does that grace lift? God's got something else for you to do. Yeah. And when that grace lift, you say, how do you know it was God? Because I didn't like it anymore. I was dissatisfied at the peak of success. We had tons of people. Actually, we had crowds coming to our meetings like we never had before because we learned how to pray over crowds. Amen. Not only that, we had more finances flowing than we ever had flowing. We had more doors open than we ever had open. And how in the world, when you bring something that God gives you to the place of success, how can you be dissatisfied with that? It's because God will put a dissatisfaction in you when he's fixing to turn you. Amen. So you've got to understand, in the midst of that, when you feel weak, you need to call out to God. He will strengthen you with his might. Strengthen you. If you've ever experienced something supernatural, according to his, we were in the Philippine Islands. First time we went was in 1989. And so we went down to Mindanao. At that time, there was a lady president, and some of the generals didn't like her, and they went down to Mindanao with the intent of maybe causing insurrection to the point that they would start their own country. So Lee and I go down there. Now, when we're in Manila, we're staying at a hotel for missionaries, and they're all trying to talk us out of it. Remember that, Leah? They were saying, you're crazy. They told us there had been 400 pastors killed down there on that island. Did you know we found that to be a lie? They talked about how you'll never preach one meeting down there. I mean, there's such violence down there. And we did find it was a war zone. We went down there. It looked like you were in a Vietnam War movie. We're like, man, what are we doing here? But when we got there, the love of God, gave us such peace. The mayor of the city of a town of 250,000 people called us into his office and said, we have a militia. We will surround your hotel with our militia and make sure you're protected because we appreciate you coming. We told him, oh, that's okay. We're on an assignment from God. We'll be just fine. So when they came to tell us the schedule for the conference, this was on a Sunday afternoon. The conference started on a Monday morning. So they're there, and the director, Juan Habilio was his name. He walks in, he's got a clipboard, he's got all these papers. He sits down, he says, can you start the conference in the morning at 9 o'clock? I said, sure, that'd be awesome. And then, you know, when we arrived, they had these big banners, all these crowds of people were there. They had all these speakers listed on the banners, you know. I figured I'd get 2 or 3 meetings during the week. Will you do 10 o'clock? I said, sure. I said, how about 11? I said, okay. He said, now we break at 12 till 1:30. Can you do 1:30? I said, Juan, what's up? He said, every minister has canceled but you. From Monday through Friday. 5 services a day and a mass crusade at night. The love of God. It came in there like you would not believe. I wore out 3 interpreters. And I'm still screaming on Friday. We saw 90 denominational pastors baptized in the Holy Ghost. We had 800 or 900 workers that just got saturated with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But it was the love of God. We were strengthened by His might in our spirit. Amen. So strong on me that we flew back to Manila on Easter Sunday. We had lunch at the Ramada Inn in Manila. The Ramada Hotel, the big beautiful hotel downtown. We got on an airplane and flew 10 hours to Honolulu and had Easter dinner again in Waikiki. And of course, I've got Leah with me and Sister Helen Redmond, head of Christian Mary Mission, and they're kind of dragging their wagon. So I get them in the hotel, and I take off and I go to the beach and I rent a surfboard. And I paddle out on the Waikiki and I catch about 3 waves and I'm about 200 yards out and I catch a wave and lose my board and I'm just out there going, glory, glory, just screaming at the top of my voice. My first trip to Hawaii. Amen. Then I went and got them, and we went to dinner. You say, what point are you trying? There are times in your life when you need supernatural strength. And God strengthened us. Now, that's not just one. We could tell you story after story, but that's the love of God. He will strengthen you. It's in the chapter about His love. He will strengthen you by His might in your spirit man. That's where you need His might, is in your spirit man, because it can come into the rest of your body and invigorate your soul and even strengthen your flesh. Amen. Now notice, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, also may be able to comprehend what is with all the saints, what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. Now you ready for this? Look at the next part of the scripture. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. That you might be fit. This is a prayer. This is a New Testament prayer. This is a faith prayer. That you might be what? That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Is that possible? It must be if he instructs us to pray for it. What in the world could that mean? What could that mean? Well, I sure would like to find out. I'm doing my best to try to figure it out. Now notice the next scripture that he amplifies that verse with this scripture. Now unto Him. Come on, church. Who is what? able. We serve a God that is able to do. We serve a God that is active, exceedingly abundantly above. We serve a God that's exceedingly abundantly above anything you can ask or think. Unto Him be the glory, where? In the church. World without, that means world without end. It means, listen. The church is a world without end in which God throughout eternity will reveal His manifested glory and His unmeasurable wisdom. He's going to do that through us. He's going to do that through us. He's already started working on His church. Amen. Now, let's read a couple others. How about the Message Bible? That's kind of ugly. My writing, excuse me. Message Bible. My response is to get down on my knees before the Father. This magnificent Father who parents out of heaven and earth, I ask Him to strengthen you by His Spirit. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. That Christ will live within you as you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Now let me help you, church. Everybody say extravagant. In ministry, I've been in hotels that I would not put my dog in. Or your dog. I mean, I've slept on the ground. I've slept in tents. I've been in other places, you know, that were pretty tough ministry places. But I have experienced some extravagance. Yeah. Leah doesn't let me talk about it. But we have experienced some extravagance that we kind of looked at each other and went. I mean, because when you really experience, listen, let me help you. You know when you're experiencing the extravagance of God, you feel very much out of place. You feel undeserving. Amen. You feel unworthy. You're like, why do I get to do this? I've actually said this to myself. What did I do to deserve this? This is too awesome. This is incredible. This is beyond imagination. We got a room one time. We were in a particular place holding a meeting, and they upgraded our room to this. Remember that? We walked in there. We were like, you want to touch anything. You're like, you know, I mean, it was just amazing. And all it was God's extravagance. God's extravagance. Amen? He built that for us to enjoy. He built this world for us to enjoy. Listen, everything that God put in creation, He did it for us to enjoy. But man's been under the bondage of sin for 6,000 years. Just think what the millennial reign of Christ is going to be like. It's just going to be a total love fest of God as God shares His love with us and in us and then sends us all over the world to do what? To demonstrate His love. Everything that God does on the earth is a demonstration of His love. And we're all big to Jim. Oh, it's our faith. No, it's not. It's the love of God. It's how much He loves us. And despite our inability to walk in faith, He still loves us. Man, that's good. His extravagance. I got stuck there. Glory to God. That Christ will live within you as you open the door. That's a good point. As you open the door and invite Him in. And I ask Him, that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth, test the length, plumb the depth, rise to the heights, live full lives. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God, for God can do anything you know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah in Jesus. Glory to God all generations. Glory to God through all the millennial reign. Wow. Listen to it in the Passion Bible. I like it in the Passion Bible. Let me find it here. Oops, wrong chapter. There we go. So I kneel humbly in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. Let me read that. Anytime I circle a. Translated from the Aramaic. So this would be, let me go up there and get it right. A little Bible. We are studying the Bible, right? The perfect Father of every father and child in heaven and on the earth. So I got a little letter there, a D. So I circle it and I go down into the commentary. It says this, translated from the Aramaic. It could also be translated, the perfect Father of every people group. The Greek word for father and the word for family are the same, which indicates that every family finds its source in the Father. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And I pray that He would unveil within you unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, that great multitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all of its dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measure that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you till you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceeds your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church in every generation, throughout Jesus Christ and all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Wow. I mean, that's when you begin to really think about the love of God and how, you know, and I'm big on the principles of faith and prayer and a stickler for the order of the house when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, the move of the supernatural, things like that. Hey, but when it comes to the love of God, listen, church, this is something that's available for everybody to do. I like what it said in the Message translation, to plumb it, to discover it, to get into. Now listen, this is not you being stupid and God bailing you out. That's called mercy. That's not it. That's you living this lifestyle, receiving this love. And one of the best ways to understand how this love is received is to be a conduit for it to go out to other people. Amen. So God's love is not manifest in an emotion. It's manifest in action, in doing. So we can say, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We can also amplify that by saying, for God so loved you, He orchestrated your life so that at a point in your life when you received the gospel, you would respond and be born again. That's how much He loved you. Amen. Not only that, once you got born again, despite your stupidity, ignorance, and everything else that was wrong with you religiously, He guided you and brought you into a place where you can begin to discover some of the things that don't lead to bondage, which is religion, but freedom. Things that impart joy, peace, righteousness, amen. But not only that, it is a system of truth that not only unveils and reveals the provision of God, but releases it. Amen. So, you know, it's hard. We've used this in a couple of our books and other ministry material that we write. It's this phrase that we use. God does not want you religiously brainwashed. He wants you New Testament taught. There is a difference. And one of the biggest dilemmas, I learned this 40 years ago. And it's still a dilemma here in the United States, not so much in other parts of the world. But here in the U.S., most people, you have to unteach them before you can teach them. You have to tell them, now this, what you believe, is wrong. Which if it's religion, that's a process. Because religion sets up strongholds that go against actually what I call the flow or the divine flow of God's love. Religion, listen, religion has rules. Religion has regulation. Religion is designed to intimidate, manipulate, control, so it has an occultic element. Not only that, it is designed to make you stagnant in spiritual things. Listen to me. Oh, man, I can get some blowback on this one. Religion is of the devil. I don't care what church puts what on their steeple or what on their sign. If they don't flow with what's in this book right here, they are religious and they are of the devil. See, people are afraid to say that because people protect their favorite religion. But let me ask you a question. You think God is pleased with people watering down his message? You think God is pleased with people that take the power out of the message, that take the love out of the message, that take the compassion out of the message, that take the supernatural ability of God out of the message? How about this one? That take salvation out of the message, that take the blood out of the message, that take the resurrection out of the message? Listen, they've taken just about everything. What do they have left? Religion. And so what are they doing now? They are building a new religion for the whole world. So the whole world won't have to argue about, well, I'm Baptist and I'm Pentecostal, I'm charismatic, well, I'm Lutheran, well, I'm Catholic, well, I'm a heathen. No. We can all be this one big religion and our God will be what? The religion. Because the God always is in religion. It's never God, it's always the religion. That's why it's a religion. That's why Jesus came to destroy it. Amen. Now, the love of God. You say, now, Pastor, why are we looking at the love of God? Because I want to forever establish in you this one reality. God loves me. Everybody say, God loves me. No. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Now, to begin to say that, on a continual basis, to pray this prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, for this cause, many times I'm not in a position where I can bow my knees. I might be driving or I might be working out at the gym or something and I'm praying this prayer. I'll just say this. Thank you, Heavenly Father. For this cause, I just bow my heart today unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the whole family of heaven and earth, His name, that you would grant unto me, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with your might in my inner man. Jesus, that you would dwell in my heart by faith. That I, being rooted and grounded in that love, might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height to know. See, that word is experience. Yes. That word is to experience. To know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. That I might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think, unto him be the glory in the church, world without end. That means existence without end. That means purpose without end. That means function without end. Come on, church. Amen. See, because all of our lives are geared to come to an... No, it's not. It's just the world that tells you that. Live your life to what? The end. Then we'll either burn you and put you in an urn or we'll stuff you with some chemical and put you in a box, plant you in the ground. But see, God's not like that because there's no end. Once you get born again, there's no end. Once you get filled with the Holy Ghost, there's no end. There's just eternity of doing what? Discovering the incredible measurements of the, you'll be somewhere in some universe somewhere doing something your mind could not even grasp now if you tried. And you'll think to yourself, God loves me. Look at this. Look at this. You'll be doing something in the millennial reign. You'll think, you know, Pastor Rusty was right. This is really cool. But see, the problem is most people are waiting till then. And what are you experiencing on the earth? Not the love of God, the hell of the devil. And that's most people's lives. Christians, the people who he is the father of, heaven and earth. So, Oh my goodness, how's my time go? Let me close with this one thought. If you're in a crisis of life, a drama of life that's overwhelming you, if you are in a situation you think, Pastor, I've prayed, I haven't made any progress, I don't think that God's even looking or hearing, or I mean, you're just frustrated in your spiritual walk. One of the things you can do is to shut all that stuff off, go to your prayer room, get quiet, put up your hands and say, Father, I need your love. I just need you to love me. I need you to put your arms around me. I need your comfort. I need your peace. Do you think he's going to say no? See, most people right here, when I'm saying that, I can sense that in the car. Yeah, I've done that, and he said no. No, 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 no. You said no. You said no. He doesn't say no. He don't have a no in him when it comes to love. He's only got a yes. And if you'll start, listen, opening your eyes all around you and your life, if you just got saved last week, I guarantee you, if you'll inventory your life from this next week, there are all kinds of things that happened that you walked by. You just walked by it. Didn't thank him. You knew he did it. Well, he does it for me all the time. Why don't you thank him all the time? Don't take for granted that he just does that all the time. Why don't you thank him every time he does it? Amen. Everything that I do, where God, I mean, he knows my heart is so appreciative of what he is doing, and my heart is so thankful. But at the end of the day, I don't look at myself as some faith guy, prayer guy, this guy. I'm just going, man, this is because of the love of God in my life. Sure, I can teach you on faith. But listen, this is God's uncompromised, unmeasurable, easily obtained love. But you got to get beyond emotion. You got to get beyond a feeling. And you've got to start looking at the activity of God in your life. Some people say, I don't see no activity, but you're going through some kind of trauma. Well, here's the thing. It's his activity that has kept that trauma from overcoming you. Did you know God's love will keep you? Listen to me now. Very carefully. Very carefully hear this. Very carefully. Very carefully hear this. God will keep you in a place of unbelief with his love till faith comes. Wow. Now let me say that again. He will, now don't listen at the word unbelief, listen at the word keep. Yeah. He will keep you. Amen. He will keep you. What does that mean? That means the devil cannot cross a line again and bring further trauma to your life. God knows those people need faith. They need the word. They need the touch of the Holy Ghost. They need that, so I'm going to keep them. If they'll keep coming to Island Church, if they'll keep coming to prayer, if they'll keep studying the Word, I will keep them till my love, my activity, I'll keep them till I can give to them. For God so loved the world, he what? He gave. He gave. Study that word in the Greek. It's not the English word gave, which is past tense, denoting something already done. The Hebrew word, excuse me, the Greek word, coming from the Aramaic and the Latin, they took it, translated out of the Greek, is literally a perpetual flow, like a geyser that would come up out of the ground and never stop. Perpetually flowing geyser. So what do? You draw near. You come to it, the love of God, gushing up out of everything God has ever done, manifesting not in emotion or feeling, but in his activity, in everything. Listen to this. I'll close with this. Second closing. We pray every week over the safety and protection of the church. In February, we'll be a church for 22 years. And it's amazing, not only the testimonies of what God has done to protect people, but what people have not had to go through. How many of you, since you've been coming to Island Church, something could have happened to you, a wreck could have happened, this could have happened, that could have happened, and it didn't happen. And you recognize, that's Psalms 91. That's no evil shall befall me. No plague shall come nigh my dwelling. Angels have charge over me. Come on, how many of you recognize that? That's God's love. That's God's love. So what do you do with something that powerful, something that rich? You appreciate it. You thank Him. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I made it through Houston. Didn't have an anxiety attack. Thank you, Lord. I flew to Europe. Didn't freak out. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things in which God is just surrounding you with His love. And the more you seek after that love, the greater its dimensions get. Yesterday, a group of us from the church, just a small group, me and two or three other guys, friends from here in the church, we went hunting up at my property in Winnie that I lease, and had an outstanding hunt. We've had this year has just been a great year of blessing of God, and we love to eat ducks, so that's why we shoot them. But I'm sitting out there, and I'm thinking to myself how impossible it is to be doing this at this time in history. Because you can't, if one of you today, you decide, well, I want to go to Winnie and I want to lease a field like Rusty and I want to hunt like Rusty, you can't do it. You wouldn't be able to do it. You say, why? Well, because they don't do that no more. All of the property in those areas are locked up by hunting clubs and hunting outfits that make money on it. Except for one of the best places in Chambers County, which is my place, which I've had now, this place, for 14 years. And sure, every year people try to get it. Oh, I want that preacher's hole. I want that preacher's place. They don't get it. And I'm sitting here with this beautiful lab that God gave me because He loves me, because my heart was so broken over the one I lost. He supernaturally gave me another dog. How'd He do that? Well, y'all tell the testimony sometime of how He supernaturally did that. And I'm sitting there thinking, there's people all over this area sitting in duck blinds. And all they're thinking about is duck hunting. Is there going to be some more ducks? Here come some ducks. There go some ducks. And I'm sitting here thinking about the love of God. I'm sitting there thinking, God, why do You love me so much? How do You do this? I mean, it's so extravagant. Ask Alan or Kenny. Who else was with us? Brian. Brian was with us. It's so extravagant. There were so many birds we couldn't shoot them. Am I telling the truth? That's how extravagant it was. So we had to wait a little bit so they'd settle down so we could pick out a few here, a few there, and get our harvest and go home. We were sitting there with our mouths open, just watching this spectacle of nature, the love of God, the love of God. When you gather, listen, when you gather at your homes at Christmas time and there's peace by the Christmas tree, and all that joy. Because, see, your tree's different than the trees of those that don't know Jesus like you. Because every one of those presents under there is a manifestation of the love of God. For God so loved that you follow. When you're with a coworker or at a Christmas party at the office or something, and God opens that door for you to really say something to somebody who's in a crisis of life and really minister the love of God, man, there's nothing more valuable than that. As you're out in the community, and you know how people get as you get closer to Christmas, the anxiety level gets higher. Everybody looking for the perfect gift, wondering if they're going to spend too much money, which they always do. Amen. But it's amazing how your life can come into that situation and bring balance, bring the love of God, and how the love of God not only can do that, but the love of God can bring peace to people around you as 2024 progresses. And as the hypersensitivity that the world system is trying to propagate on the world continues to increase, you can just lay back in the arms of God and His love. And when people see no answer, no hope, no way out, you see the Father of the family in heaven and the family on the earth. And you know, no matter what happens on this earth, my Father has me. My Father has already made a plan to get me out of anything the enemy tries to do. And no matter what he tries to plan or what he tries to do, God has already made a way for me to be out of it, delivered from it, and literally has made the roadmap for me to go through the valley of the shadow of death and come out the other end. Isn't that good? It's the love of God. Go ahead, Frank, you can play. I saw you go up there. It's the love of God that removes the thought of punishment. Now, this is where I really like to teach on faith. Because a lot of people don't realize that your greatest hindrance to receiving from God by faith is your subconscious understanding of your need for punishment. It's built into your soul. Let me give you an example. How many of you before you got saved, when something bad happened to you, you thought it was God? Why'd God do that to me? I tell you, God, He hates me. He just, you know, everything happens to me is bad. God hates me. I mean, how many of you ever thought that? Until God found you. And then God loved you. And you begin to realize, no, that's of God. That's not of God. God wins the world. Not by signs, wonders, and miracles. Thank God for those. Those are manifestations of His love. But God wins the world through His love. God does not sit in heaven on His throne making a decision to love us. God is love. We as creation make those decisions. He is God, is love. It is who He is. That means when He looks at you, He does not want to judge you. He does not want to harm you. He does not want to hurt you. He wants to love you, which means He wants to provide divine activity and actions that are supernatural in your life. They could be as small as God opening some little door for you to have favor at your job to something huge. I have to tell that. Then I'll give the altar call. I was doing an outdoor adventure in faith, not a podcast, but one of our lessons that we do, a little 15-minute thing. And so we're doing a series called The Art of Deception. And so I'm going through decoys, and then we show people some of my old decoys, my antiques I've collected over the years, and then some of the new ones that we use. Then we did blinds, which is, you know, going out in the marsh and creating a place to hide, a blind with all the cover, make it look like it's natural and everything. And then last week we did calling. And, you know, with all of these, we do a spiritual illustration. How there's, you know, we use the scripture over in 1 John. We talked about there's many spirits out there, many voices, what one translation says. And now you gotta not be called by the devil. That there's one call going out that's God. There's all kinds of calling the enemy's doing. So we were doing that. And so I had I got a new thing that I hang around my neck that calls around, and it was giving me some trouble. So I reworked it in my office before I did it, and I lost a piece off of it that's very important. And I'm thinking, where is that piece? Where is that piece? I went to my home, turned the house over, couldn't find it. And it's a very important piece of my equipment for my hunting. It's a remote that runs decoys that their wings spin. You only have a couple of those out with 400 or 500 other decoys, but two or three of them have wings that spin. They give a motion or an action, and they've got a little remote. I lost that remote. So I looked all over the house, all my duck stuff, all through my truck. So I came to my office, and I just started praying. I said, "Now, Father, You know exactly where that thing is." I'd already turned the office upside down. So my trash can was full, Roland. I'm just kidding. But anyway, my trash can was full with papers. So I thought, well, it's in the trash can. So I'm digging through the trash can, and sure enough, I started finding pieces of that call lanyard that I had adjusted and cut off and stuff like that. And I thought, well, it's in here somewhere. And I couldn't find it. I mean, I literally dumped all the trash, couldn't find it. And I'm holding the can, and I'm frustrated. And my eyes just, I look, and there it is. Sitting right on the shelf. How could I have missed that? How could I have missed that? I started laughing. I laughed for probably 10 minutes. I laughed, and I laughed, and I laughed, and I fell back in my chair and did this. I said, "Love me, Jesus. Just love me." I mean, you say, "Well, that ain't nothing." Honey, that's everything. Every day, there are things that God does for you that you don't even know or recognize. And what is He doing? He's being the father of the family on earth. Do you think the family's heaven in heaven's going, "Oh, please, oh, please, our bodies are hurting, our finances are bad"? Oh, no, they're not. They're just worshiping. They're just receiving. He's the same father of the father that's in heaven and on the earth. He don't want you begging. He, you're part of the family. You don't need permission to go to the refrigerator. You're part of the family. You don't have to ask. You say, well, what the Bible says to ask. Yeah, it does on, we've taught on prayer enough for you to know that. But in reality, there is enough blessing just in serving God, loving God, reading your Bible every day. Thank you for my Bible. How many actually thank God for your Bible? We saw those beautiful videos a few years back of those precious children crying, hugging their Bible. Wow. And there you have how many? 40 at your house. The love of God. For God so loved you that He gave Jesus His Son. That if you would just believe on Him, you would not perish, but you would experience everlasting life. And that doesn't mean when you get to heaven. That means the day you receive the Father's love, you start experiencing eternity. When I die, I will not go into eternity. I went in the day I said yes to Jesus. And you're there also. Aren't you glad? Every head bowed, every eye closed for just a moment. Don't reject His love. He loves you. He cares about you. That powerful prayer, please pray that prayer. Let love become your revelation, and then let it become your experience. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, I'm not living right. I'm not doing right. I've walked away from that love. Maybe you're here and you say, well, Pastor, I've never really received that love. I've never received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. So for those two groups of people here today, I want to pray with you. But I want you to do one thing, an act of faith, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. I want to give God honor and bowing our heads and people privacy by closing our eyes. We're not going to ask you to come up here. We're just going to ask you to raise your hand. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not living right. I've walked away from the love of God. Or you say, I've never received it. I've never made Jesus Lord. But you want to today. If that's you, lift your hand up high. Let us see it. Anyone at all? One hand. God bless you. You can put it down after you raise it. Anyone else? Another over there. God bless you. Anyone? Another one over there. God bless you. Anyone else? Another one right there. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? God loves you so much. Praise God. Now stand on your feet if you will. Stand on your feet. Now here's what we're going to do. The church is going to pray with you. Everyone that raised your hand, we're not going to call you out or anything like that, but the church wants to pray with you. So we're all going to pray a corporate prayer. But you that raised your hand, make sure now that you pray out loud so your own ears hear it. Amen? And what I want you to do after you pray that prayer, if you've not done this, now if you've gone and got my books, don't go get a bunch of books. Don't do that. If you've already got our books, then you don't need to get them. But if you've not gotten our books and you raise your hand, as you leave, just go by the visitor center there and they'll give you our three little books that we have. Amen? Got a fourth one fixed to come out real quick called Simply Pray. So they help you to serve God. They help you to receive His love. Amen? So church, are you ready to pray with these three or four that lifted their hand? Amen? Out loud, everybody. Heavenly Father, openly and publicly, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you, Father, that you sent Him as an act of your love to live upon the earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did signs, wonders, and miracles, revealing the nature of the Father. He died upon a cross. He came out of the tomb, risen from the dead. I believe that. I receive that. I call it mine in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I'm born again. I am saved. Areas of my life that do not please you, I ask forgiveness. Thanking you, Father, that you cleanse me from all sin, all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father. As I stand here at Island Church on December the 10th, 2023, I have stepped into eternity. Jesus is my Lord. I'm surrounded by the Father's love. The devil is defeated in my life. Thank you, Father, for newness and change. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Don't forget, We have church on Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Yeah, give them a hand clap. All those that raise their hand. Come on, give them a big hand clap. Now, don't forget next week's Brother Tony Cook will be here. Be sure and be in those meetings. You do not want to miss. That is a high caliber preacher right there. We want to pull everything we can out of him. Amen. It's just going to be a glory and a joy to have him here next week. Praise the Lord. Wednesday night, we have prayer, 6:30. Church will be at 7. That's a glorious time. Pastoral prayer, Thursdays at 7 o'clock. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your love. Oh, hallelujah. Love of God. As the old song says, the old spiritual song, if the oceans were ink and if every bird were a quill, you still couldn't write. And if the sky was the parchment, you still could not write the love of God. Thank you, Father, for your love. When we were unlovable, you loved us. You gave us your word, your precious promises, and with your power, your might, and your great extravagant love, you stand 100% behind them. So we thank you, no evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh our dwelling. During this holiday, yes, Lord, I see that. I bind holiday tragedy. In the name of Jesus, devil, you will not mark nor mire this joyous celebration season for one family here at Island Church. And Father, we thank you that during this time you protect us in our travels, protect us when we're with our loved ones, at these malls and these places where all these large groups of people gather. Thank you, Father. No evil befalls us. No plague comes nigh us. Angels have charge over us. Thank you for the witness in our heart. Everywhere we go, everything we do, especially at this joyous season, let the love of God live big on the inside of us. Let us be givers of the love of the Father. Lord, as we leave today, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. We walk in love toward one another. Thank you for our church. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, covered by the blood, powered by the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.